I'm Irish.
That's intense.
What? First year guy went to base. That's like
wrong. LOL!
Okay, here we go. Take it away.
Last week I lost my SD card.
Your SD card.
My mini, my small. Micro, it's a little tiny thing.
You're
I don't know if I lost it, whatever. Yeah. And this week I put This week I put money into Ramiro Bolognese.
Yeah.
And I found it that day.
Bada boom.
That worked.
Yeah. Like a charm.
That's a Muna.
Of course.
I'll tell you a real moment about story.
Thank you for sure.
Oh, I said gone.
2 days ago, I lost my credit card.
You found that?
No.
There you go, and he's smiling. That's an Amunavat story.
That's
there
real
it is. That's
I
mean, an Amunavat story.
I don't know if it really was.
What?
I don't know if it really was an Amunavat story, but I think it was.
What?
Yeah, I wasn't like sure what it was, but I took it out anyways.
If anyone stole it, you can use it.
So,
give me like $5 for like coffee.
Like on Sunday, or no, on Friday.
Yep.
I was wearing my titsis, and as I was peeking them out, like I tore it a little bit, like around the hole. So then, and then I forgot about it. And then Sunday morning, on Shabbos I don't wear those titsis, and Sunday I put on those titsis. And Sunday morning, I would buy a coffee, myself my coffee, and so on. I don't even know what he was doing. He's like, and like punched my coffee and like spilled all over. Mm-hmm. And so that, then that was before First Seder. Then I was thinking, whatever, why did I have, like right away I wasn't upset. Like, I really wasn't. He was like apologizing. I'm like, it's fine, don't worry, whatever. Then I was wondering like why it happened, whatever, I don't know. Then I go to First Seder and my rabbi's like, you have to, you can't walk around like that. So first I asked, I wait till after Seder before Shira, whatever. So he said, yeah, then as before Shira, I went down to go down on my way down. I think why it happened, And I saw Rabbi Wiener walking up the steps. So it reminded me to ask him
about the
My titsis fossil.
Right.
And then I was hoping to get to my room and see coffee stain all over my titsis, because then it would make it a lot better, but there was no coffee, but it still reminded me.
And what did he say about the titsis?
He said it could be the problem, you stick
them
off.
It's a problem. You see, he internalized something happens, like, why does this happen to me? He said, that's good. That's a winner right there. We're waiting for Rabbi Vorhand to be Bezrat Hashem. We're waiting for his Amunavat story because we're all very excited about it. But before, I want to tell you a story which I read about, I don't remember where, which is someone who was walking down the street. He was walking down the street. It was Friday night. He was walking to shul, from shul. And someone,
I was about to say that.
Someone rolls down his window and he screams out the window, "Filthy Jew!"
What did this happen?
What about me?
I don't know. I think it's in England. I think it happened in England. Listen to the story. This is a story I read in a book. I don't know if it's true or it's almost true. Filthy Jew! The guy is thinking, why did that happen to me? I said, you know what? I'm going to check my pockets. Checked in his pockets, and he was carrying something in his pocket. He didn't know it was there. He was from Hendon. I don't know, someone read in a book somewhere. And he said, okay, so, you know, that he used that, that situation, really, that abnormality, and he had something in his pocket, he took it out of his pocket, so he shouldn't be carrying on Shabbos. Now here we go, the beautiful hand, here goes, with an Amunavat story, then we're going to get down to some business, go.
So I was talking to two people, with a toothpick in my mouth, like I usually do.
I saw that.
And I was about to say something quite mean about one of them. I started saying it, and as I was saying it, I poked myself really hard. I said I wasn't going to say it.
Excellent, there it is. That is a good story. That's a good story. Okay, everybody, everyone should put toothpicks in their mouth. Not. What? What was that?
It was a mean comment.
I got it. Here goes, folks. I want to tell you something, a beautiful thought that I heard, because I'm going to get back to our discussion about Hishtadlus and Parnassa. Listen to this beautiful idea that I heard from Rabbi Eliezer Breidowitz in the name of his brother, Rabbi Yitzchak Breidowitz. This is Phallus. I think it's a very beautiful idea. An Amuna thought, which is, we know that that a bris happens. When did a person do a bris?
8 days.
8 days. Why is it 8 days? So it should go. It should pass over a Shabbos. Why does a bris have to pass? Why do you have to have a Shabbos before you do the bris? What's the reason? So you can have Shalom Zachar. So you could all have a good time. No, that's not the reason. There's something about Shabbos that in order to do a bris, you have to have Shabbos. So listen to this beautiful idea from Yitzchak Breidowitz. He says as follows. He says, it appears that bris and Shabbos are teaching us two totally diametrically opposite ideas. What does bris teach you? Bris teaches you that man has the power to affect what happens in this world. There was a discussion, a debate between someone named Tarnas Rufus and Rabbi Akiva. And Tarnas Rufus asked Rabbi Akiva, whose actions are greater, man's actions or God's actions? That was his question. And Rabbi Akiva gave him a very shocking answer. His answer was, man's actions are greater. Tarnas Rufus was not ready for that. And he's like, why do you do bris milah? He said, I told you, because man's actions are greater. Which means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is allowing us to perfect the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you are in control of the destiny of this world. You can be a partner in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creation. You have what to contribute. You can do something. Sounds like man has actually a lot of influence. In order for a person to do a bris milah properly, first he has to go through a Shabbos. What does Shabbos tell us? Shabbos tells us everything is from Hashem. It's all really from Hashem. You stop working on Shabbos. Why? Because where does Parnassa come from? From Hashem. Who created this world? Hashem. Everything is Hashem. So in other words, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us that He wants us to do the action, He wants us to do the Hishtadlos, don't think that your Hishtadlos is because you are really in control. Realize that really everything is just HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrating through us. So your Hishtadlus is put in the right perspective. Therefore, we have to have Shabbos before Bris. Bris is about Hishtadlus. And Shabbos is about Hashgacha. It's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's in control. Okay? Thank you very much. It's a beautiful story which I read about back in the day. You know, back in the day, the Nisayan of working on Shabbos was very challenging in America. America, people, everyone worked Saturday. As a matter of fact, if you don't work Saturday, you're gone. You're out of here.
You got the boot.
You got the boot, right? So there was this story. I don't remember where I read this story. I'm not good at remembering details and stories and stuff like that, but I give you the basic idea. There was this this person who was supposed to be working in this factory, and they were going to get fired, and the family's putting a lot of pressure back. There was like this idea, like, you know, for Parnassa Megman, for Parnassa, it's okay. And you can work on Shabbos. There was a lot of people that fell to that temptation, and they worked on Shabbos. And there was this person who there was a lot of pressure that he should go work on Shabbos. And he lived at home with his family, and he was part of the, you know, he was part of the ones who were supposed to bring in enough money. And his family said, "You have to go work." So he left the house. He said, "Okay, I'm going." He didn't go to work. He left the house. He went to the park. He sat in the park. He's like, "How could I work on Shabbos?" Anyway, he came home, and his parents told him that there was a fire in the factory, and everyone that went to work that day died.
This was when Zaidi was young.
Yeah. Zaidi was young story.
There you go. When Zaidi was young, it must be true. Yeah. It's when Zaidi was young, but it happened in Wilkes-Barre. It's a true story. It happened in Wilkes-Barre that a person, this is Hashgacha, Kodesh Baruch Hu.
It's like a pencil factory.
Kodesh Baruch Hu.
Pencil factory.
The pencil factory story, right. That's the one. Anyway,
your man.
I want to tell you something that is a real Emunavad story. It happened at my table a little bit. Just something that a good perspective was when I had Sruli Snyder was eating at my house together with his father, and he told me the following story. And maybe Sruli's going to find out who it is, because it's nice to say B'Shem Amro. But someone was talking to Sruli's father, and he asked him, "How does he make his parnasa?" But listen to the way he said it. Listen to this beautiful, like language. He said, where does your mun fall from?
Who said this?
I don't know. We're going to find out. Like someone that he was talking to, a Rav or a Rebbe. Do you remember your father saying that?
Yes, yeah,
saying?
Yeah. He's davening at the Kursar.
What? Oh, I know who he's talking about. Maybe he says it was Rabbi Wolf. Wolfson? Is his name Wolfson? The one who. Yeah, Moshe Wolfson. I think that's who it is. He wrote the Sefer. Mashkiach wrote the Sefer called. That Sefer. I forgot what it's called. So he asked Shirley's father, I don't know if it was Rabbi Moshe Wolfson. Can you verify that it was him? Rabbi Moshe Wolfson asked him.
He
dives at the Kursar when he comes here. What's the name of his Sefer? Amunas. I think that's the name of his. I think it's a safer called him. Yeah. I think so. I don't remember. I don't know. Anyway, so when he's talking to Cerulli's father, he asked him, "Where does your mun fall from?" What a beautiful way to ask him, how do you make your parnasa? It's like a way to put everything in perspective. You know, I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer, right? I have this profession, that profession. Where does your mun fall from? What is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu supported us in the Midbar, how did he support us? It just fell straight from heaven. If a person realizes that it's not about your job, it's not about your intellect, it's not about anyone who you know, it's all mun. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, you could be in the best position possible. You could have the greatest reputation and the greatest the track record. We're talking about the Reichman family, right? You remember that?
Yep.
They thought that everything, like, there's no way this is going to fail. And it was epic disaster. It was a terrible failure. Why? Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, it's all me. Don't think it's you from, it's all mun. And that's what we're speaking about over here. Okay, I want to share with you now. We're going to move on to something else. This was all about Parnassa. I'd like to speak to you about war. This is something that is much more relevant in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, there's a constant struggle between people learning in yeshiva and people joining the army. I want to try to put it in perspective. It really was for the Parshas Bishalach. There's something in Parshas Bishalach that I'd like to quote. And to understand, do we need an army? Right? So if we need an army, so then you can't have all these people learning in yeshiva because, we need to be militarily at an advantage. So, the pasuk in the Shira on Kriyas Yamsuf says, there's a pasuk which speaks about Muhammad, and it speaks about the man of war. Does anyone know which pasuk I'm talking about? Who is Ish Muhammad?
Hashem.
Hashem Ish Melchama. Which means that when the Jewish people fight wars, who is really fighting the war?
Hashem.
This is an extremely important idea that you have to understand. Our wars are fought by Hashem. So what does the pasuk say when you go to war? Kiseitze la melchama
aloy
vecha. What does it mean, aloy vecha? On your enemy. Before Shema Daik, what do you mean? You go to war
with
your enemy. What do you mean on your enemy? Aren't you going to war with your enemy? No. Who's fighting your enemy?
Hashem
is going to war with your enemy. You're going to someone else fighting a war with your enemy. You're going to war on your enemy. You are basically a
puppet.
Spectator. A puppet. A very active spectator. It looks like you're going to war. You're not. Kodesh Baruch is going to war. So I want to tell you just a personal experience and a beautiful story from the Navi. It's an amazing, amazing Maisa from the Navi. The Gulf War. The original Gulf War was Saddam Hussein. What happened was as follows. Saddam Hussein, Yimach Shemoy V'Zichroy, he started up with a country called... what was that country called again?
Kuwait.
Now, just so you should know, Kuwait hates Israel. Kuwait hates Israel more than they hate Iraq. There was a nuclear reactor in Iraq, and Israel bombed the nuclear reactor. So who condemned Israel?
Kuwait.
Kuwait. Kuwait hates us. They hate us. We are not. Oh, it's a teeny little country. Anyway, so Saddam Hussein decided he's going to attack Kuwait. Israel doesn't really care. They're fine. But America decides we're not happy. You can't do that. So what does Iraq say? Okay, you're going to start with us. We're going to bomb Israel. Not really sure, like, what's the deal over here, but okay, that's what's going to happen. Now, Saddam Hussein is a very dangerous person, and no one really knows exactly what he has arsenal, thank you. Saddam Hussein says the following thing: you are about to start the mother of all wars. The mother of all wars. I want to tell you, being in Israel then was very scary. I was here.
The chemical.
I was here. It was very scary.
Gas masks.
What?
I remember getting gas masks.
Getting gas masks. You were there by the second Gulf War.
You were here?
But yeah, gas masks. But the first Gulf War, Saddam Hussein says, this is going to be the mother of all wars. In other words, World War II, forget about it. That was nothing. This is the mother of all wars. And guess what? We have no defense. Israel's no defense. Because we didn't have any missiles, we didn't have anything to shoot. America didn't give us, there was no such thing as Iron Dome, and America did not give us Patriot missiles. We had no Patriot missiles are missiles that can intercept.
Weren't they allies?
They were allies, they didn't give it to us. Okay, so we're here, and we're just sitting ducks. Sitting ducks.
Spectators.
Can I tell you that people were freaking out? Freaking out. Mashiach's coming. This is crazy. This is nuts. Mother of all wars. Go and mishuga. Because there's nothing we can do.
Saddam Hussein is.
I watched
Yeah, all that stuff.
What is it?
Okay. America attacks January 14th, 19, whatever it was. America attacks Iraq. We're done. It's like, who knows what's going to be with us? Miracles happen every single day. He's firing missiles to Israel. They're always missing. He's destroying buildings. There's no one in the building. It's like crazy. A whole building falls down. There's no one in the building. Half of a building falls down. Half of the building is full of people. The other half of the building is full. It's crazy. It's not normal. Literally, a person in his bathroom, half of the bathroom gets knocked down. He's sitting there on the toilet. He's fine. The other bathroom is knocked down. It's like, what's going on? It happened over and over again. Miracles. Israel has no defense.
Wow.
Finally, America decides, you know, we feel bad for these people. We're going to give them Patriot missiles. Thank you. Finally, the Savior is here. Finally, we have Patriot missiles. We can defend ourselves. You can stop worrying. Guess what? That's when the casualties started. Hold on a second. That's when the casualties happened. People started dying. Missiles started hitting. People died. Not many, but people died. What happened? What happened was that when you say, look, I got no one else to align on than you, Hashem. There's nothing else. I have no defense. Hashem's okay, I got your back. Hold on a second. Once you say, I got Patriot missiles, we're good. Hashem, we don't need you anymore. I'm fine. I'm like, everything's fine. This is really? You don't need me? Okay. So go ahead. Go ahead, take care of yourself. Doesn't work. Doing hishtadlus just means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're going to give you a way to make it look like it's nature, but we know you're behind everything. But if we're going to just start relying on Patriot missiles, we're in trouble.
But not with the Iron Dome.
So here, listen. So first of all, Iron Dome. Anyone that knows anything about Iron Dome, when they started the Iron Dome, it was so erratic. It was so unreliable. They wanted to just stop the whole program. If you look up any of the history of the Iron Dome, it wasn't doing well. And even when they kept the program, they said, it'll be 50% accurate. Okay, 50% accurate is good enough. At least it's something. We don't have anything, so let's at least have Iron Dome. The Iron Dome was like 100% accurate. It's not normal. That doesn't happen. Even the person that made Iron Dome said, this is not normal. How does it keep on knocking down the missiles? Most of the time, okay, it'll work. It was consistently accurate. Except for one time where it missed the missile. You probably heard about that story. I'm not sure if you did or not. So the missile was heading to Tel Aviv. It was going to blow up a building in Tel Aviv. And all of a sudden, this crazy wind came and knocked the missile into the river. What a wacky coincidence, right? This was right now. Right? Yeah,
this was recently?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, during the Iron Dome. They shot two Iron Dome missiles at this three, whatever it was. They missed. All of a sudden, this huge wind comes and blows it into the river, into the Mediterranean. Done. That's crazy. The whole story is crazy. Listen to this. This is the mice I want to tell you.
It might have been Jews.
Why do we have an army?
Listen to this. Listen to this mice. Are you ready, Yas?
Yeah.
It's a mice with Gidoin. Gidoin was going to war against the Midianim. It's a mice. It's in Navi Shoftim. And he had a very impressive army. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, Too many soldiers. Get rid of a few. Gidoin. Get rid of some of your soldiers. Too many soldiers. So he says, okay, anyone that's afraid of going to war, leave. Bunch of guys, leave. Not enough. Too many soldiers. Listen to this. Hold on a second. So he says, okay, everyone, take a drink from the pond. Anyone that bent over to drink the water is out. Anyone that brought the water to them, which is a little bit more respectful, he's able to fight the war. He's fighting against Midian. 300 soldiers are left. Everyone else went home. He's fighting a country with 300 soldiers. Hashem's like, okay, that's good, fine. This is crazy. We have this entire army. He just sent them all home. Go home, goodbye. We're not interested in you fighting. Leave us alone. Now we got 300 soldiers. Now we're at a disadvantage. We're going to war as a disadvantage. Why are we doing that? We got all these soldiers telling them, we don't need you. It's okay. We'll do this on our own. Why are we doing that? You know why? Because you have too many soldiers and your army is too powerful. Then who are you relying on?
Yourself.
Hashem says, that's not going to work. You want me to fight this war? Hashem ish mochama? You have to rely on me.
So where's the line?
So if we have...
They win.
And are they won. They won. If you have an army that is at a disadvantage, and then you say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, relying on you. Let me tell you something. As great as our army is in this country over here in the Middle East, do you understand how many millions of Arabs there are that are surrounding us from everywhere? How many trillions of dollars they have? How much they have to... It's ridiculous! Israel can't win wars. It's nuts! You think that, oh, let's have more people in our army. That's really going to make it that we're going to have an advantage? We can't have an advantage. It's not normal. It's not normal that we should ever win any wars here. It doesn't make any sense. Don't try to fight with odds and percentages. Forget it. We win wars, miracles. It's the only way we win wars. The person has to remember that. That's how we fight our wars here. There's a very famous story about the maskilim. Maskilim were considered to be, another English word for maskilim, anyone?
Enlightenment.
What?
Enlightened.
Enlightenment. Enlightenment, they used to make fun of yeshivas. The yeshivas are like cavemen, archaic, they're like nuts. Yeshiva guys are nuts. So they made this play. It's a very famous play. A very famous play, which is that they're going to war, we're about to fight, the Jewish people are fighting a war, and there's a general gets up and he says, anyone who's afraid should leave. So a bunch of the soldiers go off the stage. And anyone who just got married should leave. And anyone who just died should leave. And anyone who does any of errors should leave. So who's left on the stage? These two like old rabbis, like, okay, we're ready to go to war. They're like, that's like ridiculous. You're gonna go to war, that's crazy. Right? Who's left to fight? Who's not afraid of their averes? It's got a bunch of old rabbis, you know. It's like Reb Chaim Brisker and like, you know, it's like, okay. And like, you go first. No, you go first. You shoot the cannon. You shoot the cannon. I was like, come on, that's not a war. That was the maskim we're making fun.
They forgot the end of the story.
What's the end of the story?
They won.
They won the war. That's the story of Gidon. It's mamish the story of Gidon. Gidon's like, okay, let's get rid of all these people. Now we got only 300 soldiers against an entire Midian. How are you going to fight that war? Because we're not fighting the war. Hashem's fighting this war for us. Hashem is fighting this war. That's emunah nakadosh baruch hu. Hashem ish melchama. Don't forget it. Now we can do our ishtadlis as long as our ishtadlis doesn't change our perspective and our mindset. Our mindset has to be a Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to win this war. So we have a big army already. This country has a big army. We don't need to take Bachram learning yeshiva in order to be able to do ishtadlis. We got plenty of ishtadlis going on. Personally, the truth is, honest truth is, that who should really be fighting the war? Only yeshiva Bachram. Shouldn't be any. All these chilonim should not be going to war. Why not?
They think it's themselves.
Because they think it's themselves. Send the yeshiva Bachram to war. I want to make a movie. One of you guys is going to hopefully, Bezer Hashem, make a lot of money. It's really Hashem sending you the money, and I'll tell you why he's sending it to us. Because I want to make a movie, you got to help me. You ready? This is my movie.
Deal?
Yep. Here goes. This is the movie.
I already made a movie, sorry.
The what?
Not props.
Okay, this movie is going to need a lot of money because there's a lot of special effects. This is my movie. You ready? Guys, this is my movie. There's going to be someone who's going to run for prime minister in Israel, and he's going to be a very charismatic Rosh Yeshiva. He's going to run for prime minister, and he's going to win. Perhaps, maybe. Maybe it'll be Rabbi Baron. I don't know. We'll figure it out. He's going to become Rosh Yeshiva. Great. Now he becomes prime minister. So he fires the entire Israeli army. Fired! All of the generals, all of the commanders, because they're all
Russians.
All of them! Get rid of all of them! Now.
Yassam
for sure, gone. Now, we have all these enemies right around us. So they're like, there's no army anymore. That's it. They're going to attack. So what does he do? He hires, he's got this, a few, Bali Chuva guys that know how to fly their planes, right? I want Tom Cruise to take that. We have to get Tom Cruise to grow a beard. Tom Cruise is going to be that guy, right? He's the Bali Chuva with the beard over there, and he's going to fly that plane. How's one plane going to win out against all these people? This is my fiction. I'm going to make this movie. You ready? It's like this. He's going to find all of the sand that Avram Avinu used to fight against all the Malachim, the four kings. He's going to find that sand. He's going to drop it on all the enemies, and it's going to make all of their planes are going to start dysfunction and all the everything, and it's going to and they're going to win.
A lot of special effects.
A lot of special effects. Yeah.
So
and Tom Cruise can do his. He could do his own stunts anyway, so he's going to have to worry about a stunt.
It'll be the new Star Wars.
Listen, if the guys not to watch, just to go to the movie theater, man. Why not? It's gonna take a lot of money, though. So Yehuda's gonna have to make a lot of money.
This doesn't prove that's a miracle. It doesn't prove that.
It's a miracle. The point is like this: you fire the army. Akadosh Baruch Hu is gonna fight this war for us.
Miracle sand. It doesn't prove that.
That's all Akadosh Baruch Hu. Miracle sand is all Akadosh Baruch Hu. Everything is Akadosh. It's all Hashem. I'll tell you one quick story, and we're gonna end with this. Okay? I was one time. I was going to Eretz Yisrael. It was a stopover. I don't remember exactly where I was. There was a problem with the flight. We were delayed. Yeah, we were in the airport. We're sitting there. It was like the middle of the night. We're sitting there. We're delayed. What? No. That's the movie. The movie is they find the sand. They drop it on the enemies. And the enemies everything dysfunctions. That all their equipment doesn't work. And the Jewish people, Mashiach comes in. Hooray! And we're done. What? Oh, there you go. Something like that. Listen, Rabbi, I want to tell you a quick story. Surely with me? So I'm in the airport. It's like 2 o'clock in the morning. We're waiting for our flight. There's a guy sitting there. I don't remember how we got to the conflict. Probably because there was conflict going on in Eretz Yisrael.
Where was he?
He was in the airport. At the time, there's probably conflict going on in Eretz Yisrael. He told me he fought in one of the wars in Eretz Yisrael, 1973. He's not religious, this guy. He's not religious. I said to him, "Did you see any miracles?" And he said to me, "For sure, there were open miracles that happened to us." I don't know how he's, not so religious right now. But I guess he's religious in his own way, whatever. He said to me the following thing. I was part of a platoon. And we were being attacked by an Air Force. They flew over us and they dropped tons of bombs. And every one of us went into our, what's it called? They're going to
bunker.
Yeah, there's another word for it. There's no apicurus in a, what's
foxhole.
The word?
Foxhole.
Foxhole? said, I'm in the foxhole by myself. I said, I'm sure all my friends are dead. I said, there were so many bombs. I heard the bombs falling all over the place. Bombs, 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 bombs. I'm sure they're all dead. I'm there alone. Finally, the Air Force leaves. I get out of my foxhole. Not one guy was killed. There's a bomb here. There's a bomb there. There's a bomb here. It didn't hit no one. It's not possible. It's not possible. It's a miracle. The only way to understand it, the only way to understand that this country still exists, this teeny little country, and all these enemies around us, is miracles. It makes no sense at all. And we have to realize that. Baruch Hu is Ish Melchama. He fights the war for us. We're going to do our Ishtadlus with our little army, whatever it might be. But don't think for a moment that the Israeli Air Force or the Israeli tanks or their submachine guns, that's like superior and gives us the edge. None of that. It's all Kodesh Baruch. That's it for now, folks.